Well, friends, we are facing difficult and uncertain days. But it's not the first time in the world that we have faced such events. What should the church be doing in a day like this? And how can we bring hope to a lost world? How do we cope when all around us are filled with fear and uncertainty? Should Christians submit to the government when they command us not to meet together, when God's word commands us to meet? Before we condemn those who take a different view from us, we need to consider the examples in Scripture along with the commands of God. There are so many voices giving the church advice today. Some argue that we ought to obey God rather than men. But the context of Acts 5:29 shows that the apostles were being told to stop preaching the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not being told to stop preaching, but for the sake of the nation, not to gather together because of the seriousness of this disease. Romans 13 commands us to honour the legitimate authorities that the Lord in his providence has put over us. It is important that we take due care over medical issues. There were strict laws laid down with regard to leprosy in the Old Testament. Those who were suffering were not allowed to come to the temple. This was to help to stop the spread of this dreadful and dangerously infectious disease. They were prevented from attending worship. But this also applied to women after childbirth. They had to go through a ritual cleansing before they were allowed back into the worship of God. Now, this was not because they were condemned or sinners. It was the Lord's concern for the vulnerable. The law was not a judgment on bearing children or a statement that no leper could be saved. It seems to me that we're in a similar situation today. There is a disease around that can kill many people. Out of our concern for the vulnerable and the good of our fellow men and women, we should follow the advice of the government. In so doing, we demonstrate the Lord's concern for the vulnerable and the sick, as well as using our God-given common sense. It's important to gather together for worship. We are commanded to meet, but we also live in a fallen world. It's significant that when there were extended times on the life of the Israelites in the Old Testament when they did not follow the Old Testament laws, the Lord did not always condemn them for that. Sometimes that was because of disobedience, but at others it was because the circumstances did not allow them to do so. The church is an assembly of God's people. That's the meaning of the Greek word ecclesia, the normal word translated as church in the New Testament. But when we cannot assemble, we don't stop being a church. Families are sometimes separated, maybe by sickness or by work or for other legitimate reasons. That doesn't mean that we are to stop being a family. When we're away from one another, our children do not cease to be our children. Separation is not ideal, but sometimes it is necessary when circumstances make it inevitable. This should give us a great desire for the times when it is no longer necessary or inevitable. It teaches us the true value of fellowship. But while we cannot meet as we would normally meet, that should give us a great longing. Firstly, to continue to learn of the grace of God. Secondly, to continue to persevere in prayer. Thirdly, to grow in holiness and the fear of the Lord. Now, there are a number of websites and blogs that have emphasized some issues that should be our priorities, and I will summarize a few of them here. Firstly, remember that the church local is part of the church universal. When we cannot worship in the local church, let us bear up all our brothers and sisters in the universal church. In the words of a hymn, "Though sundered far, by faith we meet around one common mercy seat." And another hymn reminds us that where'er they seek thee, thou art found, and every place is hallowed ground. Now the godless world knows nothing of this. The church in Jerusalem, for example, were scattered in Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 1. But they did not cease to be the church. Secondly, remember that the Lord's day still belongs to him. Not just an hour on Sunday, but the whole day. In these times of enforced restrictions, we have been given more time to engage in spiritual matters. Take up that Christian book you have been meaning to read for so long. Read again through a gospel in one sitting. It doesn't take long to read a gospel. In fact, when you put your mind to it, very few of the Bible books take that long to read right through. Do you know the value of reading great tracts of scripture through in one sitting? Apart from anything else, it will help to keep your soul clean. Thirdly, remember that the Lord has appointed the church to provide for its leaders. So do not neglect your regular tithes and offerings. I assume that if you are serious about your Christian life, you're already tithing your income. Maybe you argue that in this time of difficulty, when the money is not coming in as normal, I can let this slip. Well, let me tell you, for most of my life, I have not been able to afford to tithe. Pastors generally are not paid well in the United Kingdom. But my wife and I agreed when we got married that we would tithe as a minimum. I cannot tell you how this has happened, but at the end of every month, we have never been out of pocket. On paper, we could not afford to tithe, but we have done so, and the Lord has always provided for us without fail. Trust him. Put him to the test. He will never fail you. Them that honour me, I will honour, is his promise, and it's true. At least a tenth of your income belongs to God. You cannot, in fact, begin free will offerings until you have given a tenth, because that belongs to God. Fourthly, remember that virtual church services are no substitute for the real thing. Each week we should be longing for the time when these circumstances have passed, when we can meet again face to face with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. The devout Jews during the exile used to say to one another each time they celebrated the Passover, next time in Jerusalem. They longed to be back in the temple where they could worship God properly. Each time we gather at the Lord's table, we should be saying to one another, next time in glory. And in days of confinement because of virus scares, we should be saying to each Lord's day, next time, in fellowship together in our local church, longing to be back where we belong with God's people, in the place which for us is the house of God. Fifthly, remember that the devil is still our greatest enemy. He will tempt us that while we are getting spiritual nourishment from online and streamed services, we no longer need to go to church. Remember, he is a liar. Don't listen to him. While we're at home and watching a computer monitor, even if we're using conference software so that there is a measure of interaction, the devil will try to distract us. The phone may ring. The clock may chime. The doorbell may go. The next door neighbor may be outside whistling. The devil will be there, even before the man starts whistling, to distract your thoughts and take away from the word which is being spoken. My good friend Jeremy Walker has written a wonderful blog post entitled The Invisible Congregation on his blog, The Wanderer. He writes, let me read, genuine biblical preaching is a living man among living men before the living God. It involves a supernatural reality along appointed channels, both preacher and congregation subject to the immediate operations of the Holy Spirit, and both communicating with each other under his influence. In the absence of a congregation, these dimensions of real preaching are stripped away. The live stream or recording further diminishes that reality, because of the extra distancing involved. We are not, therefore, trying to accomplish what cannot be done. We are not setting out to replicate by electronic means the vital spiritual reality of the gathered people of God in the presence of our God under the Word of God. These efforts are not a replacement for the gathered church, but a supplement for the scattered church. The situation we face keeps us spiritually hungry. The temporary and limited provision stops us spiritually starving. These scraps will, with the blessing of God, keep you going, but they should also make us long for the restoration of the weekly feast and the laying of the eternal banquet. I find that so helpful as we think through these issues. Sixthly, remember that the novelty will soon wear off. Sadly, many pastors I know seem to be full of enthusiasm for this new method of doing church. What a dreadful phrase. They seem to be full of excitement with questions like, how best to stream our services? What can we do to make this more interesting and attractive? It worries me that this novelty factor will soon wear off. Surely we shall always be asking, how best can I communicate the gospel? What can I do to improve my preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ to a dying world? What can I do to make this message interesting and spiritually attractive and also God-glorifying? The world around us are dying and going to a lost eternity. Has that gripped us afresh in these days of panic and fear and despair? Surely we need to be on our knees praying that the Lord God Almighty will raise up men who will have the ear of our nation. While it is right to try to use the best streaming services and the right camera angles with limited resources, but we need to be calling our godless nation back to Him. Boris seems to think that he can solve this. Together we will defeat this virus, he trumpets almost daily. No, he will not. Only God can defeat this virus. But in the meantime, many are filled with fear and worry about the future. We have the answer in the gospel of the grace of God. The other day, there was a nurse in tears. She was so utterly frightened about what might happen if she caught the virus. Surely our hearts go out to her. Many are frightened to die, but we have the answer to death. My sister was shopping the other day to get a bunch of flowers for a friend in the church who was unwell. The man behind her in the queue asked her why she was not panic buying. She replied, "I have no need to panic. I'm a Christian. If I catch this virus, God will take care of me, and if I die, then I will go to be with Him in heaven." She said that the man's jaw dropped and he looked at her as though she was on another planet. In one sense, we are. We are citizens of heaven. We have nothing to fear because we know God. C.S. Lewis said that God speaks to mankind, but when we will not listen, He turns up the volume. It seems to me that the Lord God Almighty is shouting at us. And yet, men and women are still not listening. If you do not know this wonderful Lord and God, you can call upon Him now. Pray to Him. Cast yourself upon Him. Seek His face. And for those of us who do, let us redouble our efforts to pray for the Lord of the harvest to thrust us out to bring this glorious gospel to men and women. They have no answer to life or death, but we do if we are the Lord's children. We have the answer to life and death and a glorious future in the presence of God. May the Lord bless us and guide us as we think of these things these days.